Today we want to continue. We've been working, laboring strenuously by His grace on the theme of the spiritual life. Today we want to look at a character whose name is Jacob. His name means he grabs the heel. In Old Testament Hebrew, grabbing the heel meant to deceive, and Jacob lived up to his heel grabbing name. He manipulated his older brother into selling him his inheritance for a bowl of soup. Sometime later, after his father Isaac had lost his sight and nearing death, he wanted to pass on a blessing to his eldest son Esau. Isaac was a little insistent on this issue, as there was nothing in Esau's behavior that demonstrated he was serious about carrying on the family quest. He cared so little about his birthright that he sold it for one single meal. He chose to marry local Hittite woman instead of marrying from Abraham's house, as Isaac had done and Jacob would later do. But you see, Esau was Isaac's favorite son. He was a sportsman, a hunter, and Isaac loved the wild game that Esau brought home. So even though Isaac and his wife Rebekah had received a prophecy many years before that Jacob would not be the one to carry the torch, Isaac insisted on giving his paternal blessing to his favorite son, Esau. Rebekah did not want this to happen. So she and Jacob put together a plan that would trick Isaac into giving the blessing to Jacob instead. It involved Rebekah preparing a meal of Isaac's favorite food and Jacob putting on a costume that made him appear to be rough and rugged and hairy like Esau. Isaac, vision impaired and now more aged, he fell for it. He passed the blessing to Jacob and not Esau. The father blessing, however, keep in mind, was a crucial part of ancient Hebrew tradition. It was irreversible, even though in this case, it was passed on to the unintended son. Esau was furious about this, that he had again become the victim of another one of Jacob's schemes. So he decided to resolve this family conflict the Corleone way. In verse number 41 of Genesis 27, Genesis 27 and verse 41, the Bible says, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, the days of the mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. With these thoughts in mind now, Jacob decided now would be a good time to return, to go back to the land of his ancestors, find himself a wife among his own people. So he left Beersheba, headed for Padan Aram to visit with his uncle Laban. Laban was Rebekah's brother, the one whose eyes lit up when he found out Rebekah's future husband is from a wealthy family. Today's text is about Jacob's journey back to his homeland, in which a life-changing event took place. Bless the name of the Lord. The very kind of transformation event that you and I hope will take place in the lives of everyone here today. Pay attention, please, if you will. With his life in danger, Jacob, a fugitive, he left Beersheba on his way to Haran, where his extended family lived. The first day of his journey is coming to a close, and he found a place to set up camp and slept or stopped there for the night. He chose a stone for a pillow and laid his head down to sleep. As he slept, he had a dream. It was about a stairway that reached from earth to heaven. There were angels going up and down. At the top of the stairway was God himself. And God said, let's look at Genesis 18. Can we get somebody to help us read through here? Genesis 28. And please read when you get there, verse 13 through 15.
And it reads, there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you.
Isn't that something? Now, I hope that you noticed that this is basically the same promise God had spoken to Abraham and Isaac years before. And now it was time for Jacob to hear, believe, and obey. Jacob woke up, and remembering the dream, he said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. and I didn't even know it. Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 16. And he set about making some choices, making some changes that would define the rest of his entire life. What happened, church? What happened to Jacob as he slept under the open sky while running for his life? It's the same thing, I pray, happened to every hearer today. The beginning of a new day, or even the beginning of a new beginning. Am I talking to somebody? There are three essential ingredients of Jacob's story that we each need to experience for ourselves, for these three highlight, as mentioned a few moments ago, they make for the beginning of a new day. And I say this because at some point in every life, we all need a new beginning. Could it be that with the chaos and the crises that you and I are facing in our everyday life, that now very well could be and is one of those times? The first thing that happened in Jacob's life that needs to happen in your life and mine, or happen again for you and me, is to know God. Knowing God becomes a personal experience. When knowing God becomes a personal experience. You see, Jacob grew up knowing Abraham's God. He grew up knowing about Isaac's God. And no doubt, he more than likely even heard stories about Noah's God. He knew his people were not like the Canaanite people. And their gods, little g, were nothing like the God of his fathers. But up until that point, Jacob seemed to have kept his religion at arm's length. We surely see no indication, no expression that he trusted God to bring about all that God had promised to do. No, Jacob was not a man of faith. Jacob was not a man of prayer. Jacob was a heel grabber. He was not above using trickery to get what he wanted. But now here he is, alone in the desert, facing his moment of truth. The God of all creation would come to Jacob and say, I am the God of your granddaddy, Abraham. I am the God of your father, Isaac. And I am your God too. And that all I have promised to them can be yours as well, including the ground you slept on that last night. It belongs to you and your descendants. And then the Lord said in 28 verse 15, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Awesome God, faithful God. Beloved, doesn't this need to happen in your life? Doesn't there need to be a moment when your religion, your so-called religion, moves from the general to the specific, moves from the theory to the practical, move from the historical to the personal, as in, as if to say, this is my experience now. Not merely the God I heard about when I was growing up, but now he's my God. He's with me. He watches over me. And his promises are real to me. Yeah. I speak of the time when you first obeyed the gospel. Jesus Christ became Lord of your life. You gave him your heart. You gave him your life. And you began a new relationship with him. Yes, I'm speaking about that. That's how you and I began to make knowing God personal. But I'm also speaking about trusting in his promises every day of your life. Just like God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he makes promises today to all of his people. He will be with you and me wherever we go. He will give you and me strength to face whatever you face. I hear David saying, the Lord is my strength. When you walk through the rivers and the waters, God is saying, you will not be overwhelmed. You will not drown. And he promises that to you and to me. When we walk through the fire, we're not going to get burned. We might smell like smoke, but we will not be scorched. Isaiah 43. When we pray and make our supplication to God with thanksgiving, God promises to answer and provide us with the peace of God. God's promises, he will fill our lives with meaning. He will cause everything that happens to work out for your good. I'm talking about the promises that God makes to you and me today. He will reward our faith and our obedience, because he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He will forgive our sins and cover our past with his mercy because of the blood of Jesus. God will provide. I just want you to know it's okay. I know we've got tragedy in government. I know we've got COVID. I know that. But it's okay. Because help from heaven is already on the way. And I could go on and on. The word of God is filled with promises. So many times we go through our lives thinking that the promises of God were meant for everybody else but me. Maybe my parents, but not me. Maybe my grandparents, but not me. Maybe my neighbors, but not me. Maybe the good people of the world who are not scheming and running for their lives. But for me, can you and I really believe that the promises of God were meant for us? Hear me clearly. Yes, we can. It doesn't matter how long you've been a follower of Jesus. If you're not living the promise-filled life today, then it's time to make it personal. I said it's time to make it personal. It's time to hear what God is saying to you and say to God in response, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, and I receive." The beginning of a new day means that you make your life in God a personal experience. When this happens, notice with me the second element that will become more real to us. Number two. Recognizing, acknowledging the presence of God in your everyday experience. I said recognizing the presence of God in your everyday experience. When Jacob lay down that night, think with me, church. It was just a campsite, just a place out in the desert where he could sleep without being disturbed. Amen, somebody. But when he woke up hours later, he saw things differently. Amen. In Genesis 28, let's get some reading done. Come on, Danny boy. Genesis 28. Read, please, verse 16 and 17. I mean, come on, Danny, sir.
Verse 16 says, "When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.' He was afraid and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.'"
A dark place became a sacred space. Suddenly, this little white spot in the road in the middle of nowhere became a home for Almighty God. My goodness. Then what did Jacob do? He poured oil on the stone that he had used for a pillow. And he called the place Bethel, which means the house of God. In other words, as if to suggest God lives there. Years later, when God appeared to Moses, God said, "Take off your shoes, Moses, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." The ground was holy because God was there. I submit to you, church, we too can see that we are standing on holy ground. Where you are right now, it's holy ground because God is there. Amen, preacher. He is with you in this moment. That's his promise. And it applies to you personally. You ever hear people say, "It's like my prayers not can't even hit the ceiling"? You ever heard that said? You ever felt that way when you said it? Or when you prayed? I know I have. But I got some good news. In a sense, or there is a sense where your prayers and mine don't have to hit the ceiling. Preach, Lopez. There's a sense in which God is right where you and I are right now. And because we're here and God is with us, this is holy ground, not because we are here, but because God is here. Every step you take, every place you go, you are on holy ground. Because the God of heaven is right there too. Once you become aware of his presence, you see him everywhere. You see him at work in everything. Beloved, this is an experience we all need to share with Jacob. The moment of realizing where we say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I didn't see it before, but I see it now. He's here and he's at work in my life. Thank you, Jesus. And I close. I begin to close with the third crucial element in Jacob's experience, which is surrendering your life to his lordship. Surrendering your life to his lordship. I hope you notice. Think with me. Jacob was not content in this moment, in that moment, just to have a religious experience. As if he was at church or at the church building in a gospel revival meeting. Jacob was not willing for this moment to be just another moment in his life. He was ready to make some long-term life-changing decisions. Danny, help me read. Still in 28, begin at verse 20, close at 22.
Then it says, then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth.
Now, at the top of the text, it may sound as if Jacob is trying to strike up a bargain with God. Doesn't it sound that way to you? God, if you will do these things that I am outlining for you to do right here, then after you do these things, I will do these or do this in return. But that is not what's happening here at all. Jacob is not negotiating a deal. He is simply repeating back to God the promises that God had spoken to him earlier. He's saying, in effect, okay, Lord, in response to your promise, here is my promise. I wish I had time. And his promise comes down to this. I surrender my life to you from now on, and I mean business. Did you notice how verse 22 ended? Of all that you gave me, I will give you a tenth. In other words, God, this is not just my emotions running wild. I am making a stand for you right here with you. And I'm ready to back up my words with actions. Amen. 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 Jacob's experience is the same experience that everyone here today needs to have. I'm talking about the moment of surrender. When you give your life to God. No tricks. No excuses. You just mean business. You're serious about it. And you're willing to back it up by what you do for the rest of your life. I'm also talking about the moments of surrender that we experience all throughout our lives. Are you listening? When we find it necessary to get back to square one and say, God, I am trusting you all the way, no matter what, and I mean business. It's for real. I'm ready to back it up. I wonder, can we talk for a minute? Somebody nod your head or something. It's really difficult with the virtual, but I'm already there. The moment when you say, this is my choice. Here I stand, and I shall not be moved. God, I mean business about getting my finances right. I'm going to make the right cuts and I'm going to follow your guidelines. God, I mean business about my spiritual life. I'm going to turn off that wretched TV more. I'm going to put my phone, I'm going to turn my phone off every now and then. Put it in another room. I ain't trying to mess with you, but if I am, I ain't taking it back. I'm going to spend more time with you. I'm going to spend more time in your word. I'm going to spend more time with you in prayer. I'm going to spend more time in you in worship. I'm going to spend more time with you serving you. I'm going to spend more time in your presence. It's this I surrender and I mean business mindset that leads us to a promise-filled life. In our Sunday school, we're talking about it came to the front of our minds that we're not perfect. Jacob still was not perfect, but he was different. And God does a work in Jacob that will continue all the rest of Jacob's life. Just like you and me, our God is doing a work right now in all of us. Somebody ought to say, glory, glory, glory. Woo! He didn't and he won't make us perfect overnight, church. We've got all these unreal expectations and unnecessary disappointments. We ain't perfect yet. Hello? But here's the promise. Be confident. I like how the New Living Translation puts it in Philippians 1 and verse 6. He says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. It's a lifelong process. Listen to me, please. You won't be perfect as fast as you want to be. But this process begins with intention. You have to be intentional. And then it's carried out or fulfilled with determination. That's the key. I said, that's the key to life filled with the promises of God. It began with Jacob, the same as it needs to begin with you and me. The moment in which you and I make it personal. The moment in which you and I acknowledge God at work in our lives, present right here, right now. The moment in which you and I surrender with, and I mean business level of commitment. This is where I'm saying, this is where you experience the beginning of a new beginning. When you and I are ready to say, I am God's, God is here, here I stand. I am His, He is here, here, right here. I stand right here. So let me appeal to you. If you are listening to God right now, and you have not said yes, Lord, in a way that you are willing to be baptized into Christ, call somebody, text somebody, send an email to the church, make contact with the person who invited you, and let that person know that you're ready to obey the gospel of Christ, and you mean business. Making yourself or surrendering your life to Jesus as Lord and accessing the promises of God, because the Bible is full of them and they belong to you upon the point of hearing, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting from your old life, confessing Christ with the mouth, and being baptized in water. The record is that the Lord Himself will add you to the church. My brother and my sister, hear me well, please. Are you here today needing to go back to square one? Needing to go back to square one. And decide again, this relationship with God started out personal, but I lost my way somehow. But today, right now, I'm moving from historical back to personal, where I belong. I'm going to acknowledge that God is here. He's right here. I live on holy ground because He is always with me. And I may not be able to see all that He's doing in my life, but I'm confident that He is doing something. Go back to square one. Do you need to go back to square one? And then emerge with a I shall not be moved attitude of surrender. It's your move. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God, that you will let the Holy Spirit of God, by the power of the preached word, move you to make the response that will give God glory. That comes from being in His presence. Our Father, You are God, and ain't nobody, ain't nothing like You. Nothing even comes close. You're so high. You're so holy. You're so great. You're almighty. There is nothing impossible with You. You're sovereign. You're creator. You are redeemer, deliverer. Everything that we need, Lord, we have it because of You. Thank You. We adore You. We admire You just because of who You are. We thank You so that You spoke into our lives today. By Your Spirit, Lord, help us to hear You well. And there may be someone in the audience who needs to experience what Jacob experienced. There may be someone listening to Your preached word who needs the beginning, who needs again the beginning of a new day, the beginning of a new beginning, so that they can say again, Father, I'm Yours, I belong to You. You own me, and I'm glad about it. You're here, and I shall not be moved. Let Your will be done. Forgive us. Cleanse our hearts afresh. Father, sometimes we just lose our way. But we're so thankful, we're so grateful that You never leave us alone. Thank You for being such a faithful God. Turn our hearts again towards You, to follow You faithfully, and to live our lives in Your presence, so that we are never the same day by day. For Your glory, and in the name of Jesus the Christ, through the name of Christ, we pray. And amen.